Veteran is a word actors hate to hear. It usually means, or so the majority of them believe, that they're past it, but that people are valiantly trying to remember their better days. So it would be a great mistake to refer to the English actor and eminent Shakespearean Timothy West as a veteran, even though he's now well in his 80s. Not merely does he seem not to be slowing down, his performances are as fully rounded and effective as ever they were. TV soap watchers will remember him as the unpleasant Stan Carter in EastEnders. He also played a cameo role in Coronation Street. He shared that distinction with an even more famous Shakespearean actor, Sir Ian McKellen. The good ones never disdain popular culture. McKellen is now a huge international star, thanks to Harry Potter. Timothy West has never been that, but he is known and respected, even loved, by the theatre profession. In recent years, sadly, he's been prominent in campaigning for a better understanding of Alzheimer's disease, since his wife of more than 50 years, the legendary Prunella Scales, a.k.a. Sybil Fawlty, is suffering from the disease and can no longer perform on stage. But what makes Tim West of particular interest to Ireland is that his biography lists something of which he's clearly very proud. He has played King Lear on four occasions during his career, the first time in Edinburgh when he was only 36 years old. I didn't see that, but I'm willing to bet that West carried it off, and not just because of his burly, imposing presence. Nor did I see him in recent years at the Bristol Old Vic, or in the great role for the English Touring Theatre in 2003, when at least he had reached the correct age. But I did see the one for Second Age in the Tivoli Theatre in Dublin in 1992. It was a coup for the director Alan Stanford, who was then running Second Age. The company aimed its productions at schools' audiences, concentrating on the set texts for junior and leaving certificate exams. So there was a fairly regular diet of alternating productions of Macbeth, Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, and of course, King Lear. But it was the first and only time the company obtained the services for a lead role of such an awesome man of the theatre. And of course, West's performance was impressive and powerful. Nonetheless, it's an earlier Dublin performance that I recall with even greater pleasure, and for rather more frivolous reasons. In 1980, Ned Sheeran and Carol Brahms wrote a one-man play on the life of the legendary and awful controversial conductor Sir Thomas Beecham, who died in 1961. It was produced at the Apollo Theatre in London, and with Tim West as the star, it was a long-running hit. The authors weren't short of material, given Beecham's extremely colourful private life and his sardonic wit, one example being, a musicologist is a man who can read music but can't hear it. And when telegrams were received to congratulate him on his 70th birthday from such figures as Richard Strauss, Sibelius and Stravinsky, he said, "Nothing from Mozart." It was a role to delight a bravura actor such as West. And when I saw a revival some years later of the production during a brief run at the Gaith Theatre in Dublin, he was the expected colossus on stage. But wearing a turf-coloured tweed suit and facing his audience at close quarters, it became clear that Mr. West had left the hands of his dresser rather too speedily. As he gestured extravagantly in a conducting sequence, there was a flash of sky blue below the waistline. The flash became a waving banner against the rusty tweed as ever larger portions of Mr. West's boxers became visible to his audience. The titters increased to something close to gales as the poor man looked more and more disconcerted. Finally, realization dawned. His hand flew to his flies, and an expression of total horror settled on his face. A quick swing round with his back to the audience, a wriggle, and he was with us once again. I've seen good performances on stage, but seldom better, as with dogged determination, Timothy West wrenched his audience back into the palm of his hand and the life of Thomas Beecham. I'd say he remembers that night to this day. I certainly do. And it remains one of my most cherished theatrical memories.